Welcome to Torati Mecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we are studying the Haftorah for Parshas Yisro from Sefer Yeshayahu, beginning chapter 6, verse 1, continuing through chapter 7, verse 6, before jumping to chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Of course, this week's Parsha tells the story of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, the greatest moment of divine revelation in our history. It was an experience unlike any other, where we not only heard Hashem, but experienced Him, reaching the crescendo and culminating the journey that the Jewish nation had begun 49 days earlier at Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and arguably hundreds of years earlier, when Hashem first told Avraham at Bris Bein HaBsarim what the destiny of his children would be. And standing at the foot of the mountain, Chazal teach us, we reach the level of understanding when, whether actually or figuratively, Hashem opened up all the heavens for us to see the actuality of Ein Od Milvado, nothing else in the world besides Hashem exists, is what we experienced at that moment. In our Haftorah, we encounter another profound revelation, Yeshayahu's vision. As described in verse 1, Va'ereh es Hashem Yoshev al Kisei Ram v'nisa. I saw Hashem sitting on a high and exalted throne. Yeshayahu also sees angels, seraphim, each with six wings, crying out, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, Milo Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo. Holy, holy, holy is Hashem, Lord of hosts, the whole world is filled with His glory. And at that moment, the doorposts shake and the entire house fills with smoke. This awe-inspiring vision is actually the source for our sacred prayer of Kedusha, recited during the Chazan's repetition of Shmona Esrei and in the blessings before Shema, and also in Uval Etzion. Before delving deeply into this vision, let's first explore the rest of the Haftorah and its significance. Yeshayahu responds to this overwhelming vision with fear and regret, crying out, Oili ki nidmesi, ki ish tmeis vasayim anochi, uvesoch am tmeis vasayim anochi yoshev, ki as hamelach Hashem tzvakos ra'u'enai. Woe is to me, I am doomed, for I am a man of impure lips, and I dwell among a people of impure lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King Hashem, Lord of hosts. And then something remarkable happens. One of the seraphim flies towards him, carrying a burning coal taken from the Mizbeach. The angel touches it to Yeshayahu's lips and declares, Behold, this has touched your lips, your sin is removed, and your transgression is atoned. And Yeshayahu hears Hashem asking, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Yeshayahu responds with the words, Hineni, Shlacheni. Here I am, send me. Hashem then entrusts Yeshayahu with a challenging mission to deliver a prophecy of rebuke to Bnei Yisrael. You will hear but not understand. You will see but you will not perceive. Why? Because the people's hearts have become dull, their ears heavy, their eyes sealed. They refuse to recognize the truth lest they repent and be healed. Hashem says, I am here, right here. But the people will continue to close their eyes tight and cover their ears, uncomfortable with the truth of my presence. Yeshayahu, deeply troubled, asks, Until when? And Hashem's response is devastating. Until cities are desolate, houses abandoned, and the land laid waste. Until Hashem banishes the people and emptiness fills the land. It is a prophecy of destruction. But even within this bleak vision, there is a promise of renewal. Yet a tenth shall remain, like a terebinth and the oak, whose stump remains after being cut down. The holy seed is that stump. This remnant, though small, will endure. From destruction will come regrowth. From exile, redemption. Chapter 7 switches to a different time. While chapter 6 had begun at the time of death of Uzziahu, now we are talking about Uzziahu's grandson, Ahaz. Unlike his grandfather, Ahaz was a rasha, a wicked king, as described in Sefer Melachim. But at this moment, in chapter 7, he faces a grave threat, Ritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, have joined forces against Yehuda. Ahaz is terrified. His heart shakes like the trees of the forest before the wind. Yet Hashem sends Yeshayahu along with his son Shar Yashuv to deliver a message of hope. Be calm. Do not fear these two smoldering stubs of firebrands. They may be smoking, but they are nothing more than dying embers. Their threats are meaningless. Despite their plans, they will not succeed. Hashem is in control. And finally, the Haftorah jumps to Perek Tes, chapter 9, offering a glimpse of the future. A righteous king, Chizkiyahu, will arise, one who will serve Hashem with wisdom, strength, and justice. His rule will bring peace and prosperity, and he will sit upon the throne of David. We have now explored four distinct yet interconnected sections. Yeshayahu's vision of Hashem and the angels, the prophecy of rebuke that Hashem gives Yeshayahu, the story of Ahaz, and the prophecy of the son of Ahaz, Chizkiyahu, who will be born. Four almost independent stories and ideas from three different chapters, but all joined together to accompany our Kriyas HaTorah, that is the story of Matan Torah, Revelation. Why? How do they help us understand the message, the theme of Matan Torah? Let's go back to the vision that Yeshayahu saw and his reaction, and begin by asking ourselves the question, why does Yeshayahu cry out, Oy li ki nidmesi, oh no, I am finished. Ki ish tmes vasayim anochi, I have impure lips, and my nation does too. Why is this his reaction to the prophecy? What did Yeshayahu see? He experienced the truth of Hashem, the omnipresence of Hashem, the fact that Hashem, as much as he is Ram v'nisa, high and lofty, is also deeply here, right here with us. And when we deny this, when we live without this truth, terrible mistakes occur. The Abarbanel reminds us that we know the backstory. Our Haftorah begins with the setting that it happened at the time of Uzziah's death. But Chazal tell us it's not that he died on this day, he got Tzoraas. As we know from Divrei Hayamim, it was leprosy, not death. What's the story? Uzziah was a great king and a tzaddik and hugely successful. And he got it into his head one day to bring the Ketoreh sacrifice on the Mizbeach. After all, he's such a tzaddik, so holy, and the king. Why should he not be allowed to do this? The horrified Kohen Gadol Azariah and his Kohanim ran after him into the Beis HaMikdash, crying out that this is something only for Kohanim to do. They are unable to stop him. And as Uzziah stands there over the Mizbeach with Kohanim running behind him, all of a sudden, Tzoraas breaks out on his forehead and they have to rush him out, and his Tzoraas stays with him for the rest of his life. And it was so tragic and so upsetting, Abarbanel says, that Yeshayahu himself was not unaffected by this terrible tragedy. Finally, we have a tzaddik for a king, and he made just one mistake. How is it fair that he is being punished so severely? Yeshayahu is deeply troubled by this. And now we also understand the doorposts shaking and the smoke. This was all a reaction to the terrible mistake that Uzziah had just made. And Hashem then shows Yeshayahu the vision of Hashem on the throne and the vision of the angels, the vision of Kadosh, 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 this clarity that only angels have about Hashem. Yeshayahu sees it, experiences it. There is only Hashem. Ein od milvado. Abarbanel says that the vision was so profound, the seeing of Hashem was so awesome, that it cut through Yeshayahu's previous thoughts as well. And as he gazed through this lens of the prophecy, it suddenly hit him. When Uzziah brought the Ketoreh, that wasn't a small indiscretion. What Uzziah did was act against Hashem in Hashem's Beis HaMikdash, acting in a way as if Hashem doesn't see. But Hashem is everywhere. I see him. I hear him. I am experiencing him. Hashem is right here in our world. And then Yeshayahu uncovered another level. me in my questioning, Hashem. I too forgot just how involved Hashem is in our world. In a sense, I'm making the same mistake as he did, and the same mistake as the nation does. Hashem is right here with us to a degree that I never was able to comprehend. The pasuk of this vision, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melocha La'aretz Kvodo. The angels see that as lofty as Hashem is, Melocha La'aretz Kvodo, the entire world is filled with His glory. And this is what Yeshayahu now sees as well. Hashem is sitting on His lofty thrones, but His hems are right here in the Beis HaMikdash. When we have a moment of encounter with God, it changes our world. We have a similar concept in Parshas Vayitze. After Yaakov had his latter vision, he cries out, Achein, yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. Indeed, Hashem is in this place, and I didn't know. What does that mean? The Ksav HaKabbalah asks. Yaakov didn't know about the existence of Hashem? Of course he did. His parents taught him about Hashem. His grandparents did. He probably knew more and understood more about Hashem than we can ever know in 10 lifetimes. But there is knowing and there is knowing. Yaakov had just experienced his first prophecy, his first encounter with God. And this moment of searing clarity, oh my goodness, Hashem is here, right here, took him to a place that could not be compared to his earlier understanding of Hashem. So his response was, Hashem is here. And I guess I never really knew that. This is the kind of moment that Yeshayahu has just experienced. There is controversy as to whether this perhaps was Yeshayahu's first prophecy, but whether it was or not, this was a prophecy like none other. A clear vision, Hashem and His angels, they are here. And that changes everything. How could I have questioned Hashem's justice? How could Uzziah deny Hashem? He's right here. And then, when Hashem is looking for someone to send to talk to His children who are closing their eyes and closing their ears, of course it's Yeshayahu who says, Hineni, shlacheni, I am here, I am ready. I am ready to help them open their eyes to see You, Hashem. I want to help them see what I see. But Hashem tells him they will insist on blindness and refuse to hear. And Yeshayahu cries out, until when, Hashem? Until it will feel like all is destroyed and all is lost. But just as the winter trees look dead, their bare branches stark against the cold sky, they are merely resting, conserving energy for the vibrant burst of life that spring will bring. Beneath the surface, roots are still active, drawing in nutrients and preparing for the renewal that is to come. And just like I, Hashem, keep the trees alive throughout the winter, I will keep the Jewish people alive as well. The message Hashem is telling us through Yeshayahu is that although we will go through traumatic events as a nation, and it will feel at times like we are at the end of our historical rope, we will survive the long winter of Galus and blossom in the spring of Geula, of redemption. Why? For the same reason, I am here, right here with you. I will never let you be destroyed. And then we have these two other chapters appended to our Haftorah that demonstrate the reality, the truth of this message. As much as Achaz deserves destruction, as much as destruction seems naturally inevitable, it will not happen because Hashem says, I am here, right here with you. I will never let you be destroyed. But will we ever live with this knowledge? Will my work with the Jewish people actually bear fruit? Will we get to experience that Matan Torah truth and response? The answer is yes, because Perek Tes says that Achaz's son, Chizkiyahu, will be that burst of light, that burst of faith, of dependency on Hashem. This Haftorah reminds us that Matan Torah was there to change us. And in a post-Matan Torah world, we can be living with a deep knowledge, with a deep understanding that Hashem is here, right here with us. and he will never let us be destroyed. Thank you for learning together.